Colossians reminds us that we are a new person, correct? Christ is enough. We don't need Christ plus something else to get to heaven. It is Christ and Christ only. He is sufficient. And when we come to Christ, as Paul, as we have studied in this book, we are dying with Christ, we are buried with Christ, we are raised to new life with Christ. And because we are new, not just better, not just improved, we are a new person in Christ. Do we act differently? Of course we do. We are to act differently. And the most difficult place to act differently, we have studied these verses, is where? At home. With the people that know us best, the people that, well, we say, well, they have to love us so I can treat them any way I want to. That is the difficult place to really live out as a new person. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives, children to parents, parents to children. And now we move outside the home to, beginning in verse 22, to slaves and masters. Now, understand this. That's not connected in the sense that your wife is your slave. Got that? That's a joke. You look like, what? I didn't know that. Put another log on the fire. Bake me up some bacon and some beans. No. Different category. In the home, husbands to wives, children to parents, and we've studied that. We won't go over it. But Christianity, remember this. I've told you this the last few weeks. Christianity is not just personal. It's not just me and Jesus out here by ourselves. And it's all personal. Real Christianity is relational. It is lived out in relation with other people. In the home, at work, in the church, in the world. Slaves and master. Now, the parallel passage to this, and I want to just read it before we really dig into it, Ephesians chapter 5, or really chapter 6, but you go back into chapter 5, and he says in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. That is a synonym for what he says in Colossians, same human author, the Apostle Paul, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If God's word is living in us, it is the same as being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now listen and see if this sounds familiar. In verse 5 of chapter 6, Ephesians, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Do those sound familiar to what we just read from Colossians? The answer is, Yes, it is filled with the Spirit, word of Christ dwelling in you richly. It plays out in your relationship, husband-wives, children-parents, parents-children, slaves-masters. Now, in our culture, let's just substitute that because you're not a slave in that sense. But do you have a boss? Do you work? Anybody here work? Anybody heard of work? All of us have somebody who is over us. Now, the Bible is not promoting slavery. That's a topic for a different day. But in that culture, it was part of society. And Paul is showing how beneficial it would be if both sides, employee, employer, would treat each other as they should. So if you're a boss, anybody a boss? Anybody think they're the boss? Anybody, someone says to you often, you're not the boss of me. We all have bosses. We all have work. How do you treat one another? And remember this before we really pack into this, is that we are all slaves of Jesus Christ. When you signed up to become a Christian, you became a slave of Christ. And we go to work, or we have gone to work, and someone is over us. If you work, you have a lot of bosses. If you're a preacher, everybody thinks they're your boss. That's a joke, too. Everybody thinks they're your boss. If you work, you have your manager. You have the owner. You have the customer who is always to be right. I went into McDonald's several weeks ago, and it was before our great Whataburger opened. And there was a long line at McDonald's, and one of the girls behind the register said to another employee, "I will be so glad when Whataburger opens. Maybe we won't have so many customers." Excuse me, is it a customer why you're in business? If you had no customers, your job is in danger. I know the manager at McDonald's, and I thought I might mention that to her, but I didn't. You see, work is an honor. Most of us like to complain about our jobs. A lot of people complain about our job. I won't ask you, but if I were to ask you, how many have ever complained about working? Well, think how what you would be without a job. We tend to think work is a curse. You know, thank God it's Friday because I don't have to work. Monday through Friday I work, but Saturday, Sunday I don't have to go to work. You ought to be a preacher. You just work one day a week, everybody thinks. Work is not a curse. It is a gift from God. And that's just not just my opinion. You remember, we tend to think because Adam and Eve sinned, then man had to go to work. No, if you read your Genesis, you will find that man, Adam and Eve, had jobs before they even sinned. Now, because of sin, work's a pain sometimes. We have weeds. It's toil. It's sweat. But work is a gift from God. If you are a Christian, and I would gather I'm probably primarily speaking to Christians today. Am I correct? The Lord is your boss. And you have a privilege of going to work somewhere. And in our culture, in our country, you have a privilege. If you don't like where you work, what can you do? You can quit. You can go find another job. But wherever you work, the Apostle Paul tells us as a new creature in Christ, here's a word for the employee and a word for the employer. First of all, the word for the employee. Verse 22 through 25. Obey your boss in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And whatever you do, how much do you work at it? With all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Whether you are a boss, whether your boss is a Christian or a pagan, what is your responsibility as a Christian when you go to work? Obey them in what? Notice what it's, let's just stick with the Bible today. Verse 22, obey your earthly masters how? In everything. Now, I am not too bright, but I would bet that everything means everything. That means the things that are enjoyable about my job, the things that are not enjoyable. If I worked at McDonald's, some things would be enjoyable. Free French fries. Mopping the floor, cleaning the restrooms would not be my favorite thing to do. Would it be yours? But obey your boss in everything. Now, as with spouses and parents, the only limit to obeying them is what? If they ask you to violate God. Always God first. If my boss asks me to do anything that violates what God tells me to do, I have to obey God rather than men. But for most of us, it doesn't usually get there. It's just we don't want to do stuff. I am above cleaning toilets. I am above customers. I don't mind working at McDonald's as long as we don't have any customers. I don't mind being a school teacher as long as I don't have students. I really love the ministry as long as I didn't have people. In everything. Not reluctantly. Not out of a sense of duty. But with the right attitude of the heart. Not just the external things. When their eye is on you. Well, the boss is here. I'm going to look good. The boss is gone. I did all the things, but what was my heart like? As with spouses, as with parents and children, there's this attitude that we're to have that is really tough. In fact, it's so tough, I want you to share in my misery of saying this word, submit. Just say that word. A little louder. Wives to husbands, children to parents. Parents, you show your love for your children by not exasperating them. Husbands, you show your submission to your wife by loving her. If you look again there at Ephesians, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 21, he says, submit to who? One another. And then submit is not listed. It's translated in English, but the word is not listed there again in the original text. It just says, as an example, wives to husbands. As an example, children to parents. As an example, employees to the boss. You see, I don't know if we think of that so much as if serving the Lord. When I go to work on Monday morning or whenever I go to work, who am I really serving? The Lord. And how you submit. This is tough. That's a nasty word, isn't it? Let's just say it three times. Ready? One, two, three. Submit, submit, submit. Oh, we got that over with. Whew. Hate that word. How you and I submit to any authority over us. Any authority. Unless they ask us to violate God, whether it's my spouse, whether it's my parents, whether it's my boss, whether it's the policeman, whether it's the government, how I submit shows, demonstrates whether I am truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's as blunt as we can put it. It really shows if I can't submit, then I am not filled richly with the Word of Christ. Because how I submit to authority really demonstrates how I view God as my authority. When I rebel against any authority, my spouse, my parents, any authority, who am I really rebelling against? God. In other words, someone says the preacher always steps on my toes. Well, keep your toes tucked under today. And it's not the preacher, it's the Word of God. But in other words, I cannot claim to be a slave of Jesus Christ. I cannot claim that I am submitting to God, that I'm a slave of Christ and righteousness, if I'm not submitting to those authorities that we are studying here in Colossians. Don't claim that. And know what he says. Look there in verse 22, 23, 24. He says, with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. What is reverence? Oh, let's be quiet. God is awesome. No, that's not what the word means here. If you have a different translation, it may have a different word rather than reverence. I'll tell you what the Greek word is. It is the word phobos. What's phobos? Fear. What's hydrophobos? What's acrophobos? What's spiderophobos? It means fear. Work as not just, oh, I'm reverent. God is so nice. I'm going to be reverent for a while. It means out of fear for God, sincerity of heart. As simple as I can put it is this. If you claim to be a Christian, do what the boss tells you to do. Unless he asks you to violate God. Because I hold God in such high regard, therefore I have the right motive. How much effort do I put in my job? All effort. Serve your boss as you would serve God. Because it really is God you are serving. Picture in your mind where you work. Got that? And all of you work somewhere, even if you're retired, you work somewhere. Okay? Picture in your mind how you serve where you work. All the time. We are to serve wherever we work as if serving God. So picture your boss as God's representative. That's what he's saying. He says, not just when their eye is on you to win their favor. Do you work differently when the boss is standing there than if he's gone on vacation? When the mouse is away or the cat's away, what do the mice do? Is that true of us? Whatever you do, he says, as if serving the Lord. So it doesn't matter if the boss is there or not, because who are you serving? And we tend to forget that God is always there. Well, no, God is at church, at Valley Christian. He's stuck in this room. So when I go to work on Tuesday, he has no clue what I'm doing. No, where is God? He's with you. He's everywhere. As if God were with you, and He is. So, what's everything? Repeat after me. Everything is everything. You mean, if the boss says mop the floor, how well do I mop the floor? If the boss says clean the toilets, if I'm doing my ironing, if I'm cooking supper for my husband, if I don't have a husband, but you know what I mean. How do I do my job? Ah, it's good enough. Nobody will notice. I work better than anybody else around here. You know, if you're, picture yourself as the pastor. This place is full of a lot of people on Sunday, and everybody thinks you're your boss. But, you know, Monday morning at 8 o'clock, I'm the only one here. So, since you're not here, I can just put my feet up on my desk and play video games. No. God's here. How do you work at your work all the time as if the Lord was the one calling the shots? So if you're a painter, any painters in the house, you paint as painting for God. If you're changing diapers, you change diapers as if God were asking you to do that. If you're whatever, as if serving the Lord. And he gives us two reasons, two motives for that. First of all, since you know that you will receive, verse 24, an inheritance from who? From the Lord as a reward. There's the positive. God will repay you for your faithfulness. There's a lot of times you go to work, I could go to work, and you could do a half-baked job. Who would really notice? I could preach the same sermon today I preached last week. How many of you would notice? Two people. Wow. You heard about the preacher who preached the same sermon every Sunday. And finally, 6 months later, somebody noticed. And they said, you know, you've been preaching the same sermon every Sunday. What's the deal? And he said, well, when you start doing that one, we'll move on to the next. All of us could do a half-baked job. But what does God want? in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your reasonable. Take all of my life, everything I do. Now, when he says there in that verse, it is the Lord will reward an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Granted, some of you have great bosses you work for, correct? Some of you have some not so good bosses. And your boss may not give you what you deserve. Your boss may not reward you for your hard work. Your boss may not even notice most of the stuff that you do. But the Lord will. And you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. If you turn back to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 13, John pictures heaven and he says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Now, of course, please don't misread that. That does not mean you get to heaven by your works, but it does mean the Lord will reward you. Who knows how well you work all the time? The Lord does. What a promise. The Lord will reward you. God notices. He knows how you really work. He knows how I really work, and He graciously rewards. That's the positive. The negative, verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. There is no favoritism. You say, well, you don't know where I work. There's a lot of favoritism. If you're related to the boss, he's not talking about your human boss. He's talking about, is God show favoritism? No. That's a warning in verse 25. God rewards without favoritism, without partiality, and He will, on the negative side, He will discipline you if you disobey. But let me repeat that. We want God's rewards, correct? How many want God to notice what you do? How many want to be disciplined for what you don't do? You want to? Mark that down, Lonnie. Jaden raised his hand. All right? We know what Galatians 6, 7 says, don't we? We will reap what we sow. You say, well, what if my boss is a Christian? All right, some of you might say, well, what if my boss is not a Christian? Do I have to do this if he's not a Christian? Yes. What if he's a Christian? My brother in Christ. He'll let me slide, right? Turn over just a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 and 2. All who are under the yoke of slavery, and we're substituting employers there, should consider their boss worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better. Because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them, these are the things you are to teach and urge on them. So if I have an unbelieving boss, does Colossians 4 or 3, 25 and 4, 1 apply to me? Yes. If I have a believing boss, does it apply? But he's a believer. I'll see him at church Sunday. He's going to let me slack. After all, it's all about grace, isn't it? Paul says you even do better for your Christian brother because he's benefiting from your work. God benefits from your work because your boss benefits. And notice that phrase, so that the word of God and our teaching will not be slandered. Wow. You mean how I go to work, how you go to work, my work ethic can slander God's name? Yes. You mean in the little stuff, or you're just talking about the big stuff, right? In everything. Slander the name of God. Now, a word to the bosses. Probably most of us are more familiar with being the employee than the employer. But just so you know, if you have a boss, you can read him this verse tomorrow when you go to work. Verse 1, chapter 4. Masters, provide your slaves or your employees with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. On the other side, bosses, treat your workers with justice and fairness. If I'm the boss, how am I supposed to treat my workers? As I would expect to be treated if I was their employee. If I am under the elders, they are my bosses, how are they to treat me? How am I to treat them? As we would want each other to be treated. If you are over someone, ask yourself constantly this question: how would I want to be treated? Treat your workers, boss, like you would want your boss to treat you. And if you are a Christian boss, who's your boss? Treat your workers as you would want God to treat you. That sounds really simple, doesn't it? Treat workers like you would want your boss to treat you. And we'll go back to verse 25. If there are disobedient workers, what is God going to do? Repay for their wrong. So God will repay disobedient workers for their wrong. God will discipline them. How will He treat bosses who don't show justice and fairness to their employees? The same way. Without favoritism. You know, that sounds a lot like what Jesus said. We call it the golden rule. And what does the golden rule say? Jesus didn't call it the golden rule, but we do. But it's something Jesus said. Are you familiar with that rule? Do unto others before they do unto you? No. Do unto others, how does it go? As you would have them do unto you. You see, this is really where the rubber meets the road. Oh, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I love the Word of God. It dwells in me richly. I'm a new creation in Christ. Really, how do you treat your wife? Well, let's not talk about that. How do you respect your husband and submit to him? Well, that's none of your business. Hey, kids, do you obey your parents? Wait, you don't know that, old lady. Fathers, do you exasperate and discourage your children? Again, that's none of your business, preacher. And how do you work? But God's Word tells us that's the proof that we're a new creation in Christ. Wives, husbands, children, parents. So if we were to ask your boss, in fact, I've got all your boss's phone numbers. I'm going to call him. And I'm going to call him tomorrow, and I'm making this up. Don't believe me. But what if I were to call your boss, or you were to call my boss, and say, you know so-and-so? They work for you. What kind of work do they do? What would they say? Oh, when I'm standing right over them, they do a good job. Or, you know, I was gone a month. They didn't bat an eye. They did a good job. There's something about that employee. I don't know what you guys are doing down there at Valley Christian, but they act like they're serving God. What would they say? If I ask your parents, how do they obey? If I ask your wives, how does your husband love you? If I ask the wives, how are you doing at submitting? What would we say? But that's the proof that we're a new believer. And if we could get that and really put it into practice, all this stuff about wives, husbands, children, parents, slaves, masters, if we really followed these words, what a dramatic change we would make in our culture and in our homes. And don't forget that other motive from 1 Timothy. We sure don't want God's name or the teaching from God's word to be slandered, do we? What do you think? Do you want people to slander God because of the way you work or don't work? Do you want people to slander? I don't know what you guys are teaching down there, but it sure is a mess because they're the worst employee I ever had. No, we want to honor God's word. You see, the Christian life, let's read it. It should come up on the screen. Read it with me. The Christian life is not just personal, it's also relational. Relational to who? Will my wife, as long as she does what I want her to? My husband, as long as he loves me like I think he should? My children, as long as they're perfect? My parents, as long as they let me do what I want to do? My boss, as long as... No. You see, how you live out your life, relational, shows that you are a new person in Christ. And when everything's great, let's be honest, that doesn't happen very often. But when everything's great, it's easy. But when it's difficult, that's when we know we've passed the test. We're a new creation in Christ. So do we really believe these words? We talk about what we believe. I believe the Bible. Oh, I honor the Word of God. Then the proof is when you go to work this week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, may your word take hold in our minds, our hearts, our will. May it be practiced wherever you take us this coming week, because we truly, truly believe what we claim to believe. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen.